that I would be given the opportunity to share with students during chapel. And as I prayed about what I should share, God continued to bring to mind a reoccurring theme. I asked him to remove it from my thought process if it was a topic that I was not supposed to share. It is a topic that is not always uplifting to talk about, but a topic that indeed must be raised. So this year, when I have the opportunity to speak in chapel, I will be speaking on the topic, Living as a Woman in a Fallen World. This is the first part of a two-part message for this week. One of the greatest consequences of Adam and Eve's disobeying God in the Garden of Eden was the severing of the perfect relationship between God and humankind, which carried over into the breaking of relationships between human beings. Though all people, men and women, have suffered from the fall, women around the world have and continue to be human victims of man's sinful nature. According to Amnesty International, violence against women and girls represent a global health, economic development, and human rights problem. At least one out of every three women worldwide has been beaten, coerced into sex, or otherwise abused in her lifetime, with rates of domestic violence reaching 70% in some countries. Women ages 15 through 44 are more likely to be maimed or die from male violence than from cancer, malaria, traffic accidents, and war combined. What kind of violence? In India, bride burning occurs to punish a woman for an inadequate dowry or to eliminate her so a man can remarry. This happens about once every 2 hours. The International Labor Organization estimates that 2.4 million people were victims of human trafficking from 1995 to 2005. 80% of trafficked victims transported across country lines are women and girls. And 70% of these female victims are trafficked into the commercial sex industry. Violence against women is constantly mutating into new forms. It is becoming increasingly common for men in South Asia to take sulfuric acid and hurl it in the faces of girls or women who have spurned them. The acid melts the face and sometimes the bones underneath. And if it strikes the eyes, the woman is blinded. Far more women and girls are shipped into brothels each year in the early 21st century than African slaves were shipped into slave plantations each year in the 18th or 19th centuries. I would like to share with you two stories about young women. Though I don't have time to tell you all of the stories for each woman, you can find out more about them in the book Half the Sky by Christoph and Woden. Mina was approximately 9 years old when she was kidnapped and trafficked. She was from a poor family on the Nepal border. She was sold to the Nut Clan, then taken to a rural house where the brothel owners kept girls until they were old enough to be prostitutes. At 12 years old, she was taken to the brothel. The brothel owners charged customers a great deal of money because she was young. They brought in the first customer, and she fought, and she cried out, and she resisted so much that they had to give the money back to the man. She was beaten mercilessly with belts and with sticks and with iron rods. They showed her swords, and they told her that she would be killed if she continued to resist. She resisted 4 to 5 more times. They kept beating her, and finally they drugged her, and one of the brothel owners raped her. And Mina said, "Now I am wasted," and no longer fought off the customers. Mina was constantly beaten. The person that oversaw this was the matriarch of the family, a woman. Mina said she was not allowed to cry when beaten. If even one tear would fall, she was beaten more. She estimated that she was beaten 5 times a week. Mina gave birth to 2 babies, a daughter and a son, but the brothel owners would not let her keep her children. They were raised by others in the brothel, and she was not even allowed to see them. Mina once helped 13 girls escape, but she would not flee because she did not want to leave her children behind. Instead, she was beaten for helping the others escape. One day, Mina was able to slip out and she went to the police station to tell them her plight. "I've been kidnapped and the pimps are beating me up and holding my children." The police mocked her and sent her back. After all, they received free services at the brothel, and she was just a woman. The police told the brothel owners, and the owners decided to murder Mina. Fearing for her life, she decided to flee without her children. What would I say to Mina if I could talk to her? Perhaps I would quote what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And perhaps Mina would slowly lift her eyes and say to me, "Was not the God that you are speaking about male, this Jesus who walked the earth? Why would I ever trust another man?" What would I say? Christoph and Wunda tell the story of an Ethiopian girl. In rural settings in Ethiopia, it's not unusual for a girl to be raped and kidnapped if a man has his eye on the girl but doesn't have a bride price, or if he doubts the girl's family will accept him. The risk to the man is minimal. The girl's parents do not prosecute because rape is a shameful thing. It will bring more harm to the daughter and to the family. Wunschet was asleep when four men came and stole her from her home. She shouted and screamed for help, but her father was gone and her mother was not strong enough and no neighbor would help. She did not know her kidnapper, but he had noticed her and decided that he wanted her as a bride. For 2 days she was battered and raped. Her family and a teacher went to the police to demand they rescue her. Before the police helped Wunschet, she escaped on her own. She escaped and screaming and covered in blood and bruises. Her father returned from the city as soon as he heard that his daughter had been kidnapped. He refused to let her marry her rapist, as was the common tradition. The elders of the village encouraged Wunschet just to marry the young man and settle the dispute. They told the father to accept a couple of cows as a dowry and let his daughter go. The father refused. The man once again kidnapped Wunschet and took her far away and resumed the beatings and the rapes and demanded that she consent to marry him. Once again she escaped, but was recaptured. She continued to try to escape, and everyone saw her try, but no one would help, not even the other women. The man finally took her to a local court to force her to tell the court that she was willing to marry him. Instead, Wunschet told the court that she had been abducted and pleaded to be allowed to go home. She wanted to stay in school, not get married. The official told her to get over it and to marry the man. Even the women around her were saying, "Do what's right, marry the man." Wunschet was eventually moved to the police station, where she was kept in a jail cell. How ironic. As a rape victim, she was jailed and the rapist was free. The police finally intervened by gathering evidence and took it back to court. The judge thought Wunschet was wrong bringing such a charge against the man. "He wants to marry you. Why are you refusing?" Finally, the judge sentenced the man to 10 years in prison, but 1 month later, the judge released him. No one could find out why. Christoph and Wunden point out, in Wunschet's village, stealing a goat is a shameful act, and the person would be beat up. But kidnapping and raping a girl is to be ignored and forgotten. What would I say to Wunschet if I could talk to her? Perhaps I would quote what Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And perhaps Wunschet would slowly stand up and say to me in an angry voice, I have heard stories about women in your scripture, about Tamar who was raped and discarded by her mother, and she was even the king's daughter, about the master who saved his own life, allowed his concubine to be thrown out the door, and she was raped throughout the night and died, and no one helped her. Why would the men and women who believe your scripture treat me any differently? What would I say? In Darfur, Janjaweed militia seek out and gang rape women from three different African tribes, then cut off their ears so they will be marked as rape victims forever. In eastern DR Congo, it's more dangerous to be a woman than a soldier in the armed conflict. In 2009 alone, more than 8,000 women have been raped in DR Congo. Human trafficking is increasing. It's the second most lucrative crime in the world after the drug trade. In U.S. dollars, $7 to $10 billion is spent globally. It's lucrative because a victim can be bought and sold many times over, and women and children are usually the target. The CIA reports that 45 to 50,000 women and children brought to the U.S. each year, and they work as prostitutes or abuse laborers or servants. In the United Kingdom, three women and a man were just arrested for selling the virginity of girls as young as the age of 13 to businessmen. In 2009, it was reported in Ghana that there were over 1,000 child rapes, and those are just the ones reported. In Uganda in 2007, there were 12,300 reports of child sex abuse. In Kenya, Emma has gone to court every month for 2.5 years trying to prove that a neighbor raped her mentally disabled 14-year-old daughter. The process is excruciating. Evidence has vanished. The court files disappeared. Officials mock and ignore her, but the illiterate single mother perseveres. In Sierra Leone, the Family Support Unit reported that out of 927 cases of sexual abuse reported in 2009, there were no convictions. During the Liberian conflict, girls and women were subject to multiple forms of sexual violence, including gang rape, sexual slavery, survival sex in exchange for food, and unwanted pregnancies due to rape. As in many other countries, Liberian women are often asked for sexual favors to get a good grade or to get a commodity that they need, or they are beaten because a man is angry with them or believes that a woman is of little value. Sometimes these very same women who have been victims watch a male perpetrator walk through the church doors singing praises to God, and they ask themselves, is this what it means to be a Christian? What do I say to these Liberian women and to these women around the world? What would you say? And what might these women around the world, including your Liberian sisters, say to us? Perhaps they would ask, where are these Christian women? Why are they not standing up and loudly declaring what is happening to me is wrong? Why are they not loudly decrying, no more? Where are these Christian men? Why are they not fighting for my rights and safety so I can live as a woman, unafraid in this world? What would you reply to them? What would we say to all of these women who live in a fallen world?